GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a goal. There's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. We're going to look back on the weekend's hurling and football knockout action. Neil McManus will be with us a little bit later on to chat about the hurling, but Eamon is with us now to chat football. How are you, Eamon? Feeling good after the weekend?
Good, Jackie. Yeah, good. No complaints.
And a cracking draw this morning. I'm sure all the people in Kerry feeling slightly, even nervous maybe about the sight of Derry coming. Let's give you all the draw in case people haven't seen it. You've got Kerry-Derry, which I think is probably the pick of the round. The other one maybe, Dublin against Galway, will have a lot of people looking. And Donegal-Louth, Armagh-Roscommon, which we'll come to all of them very shortly. But I think, Rory, there was no doubt about it. Once you saw Derry and Kerry being drawn out of there, everybody was excited about that, weren't they?
Yeah, it was. Look, they met last year. Met the first round of the league this year. Derry went down to Tralee. Great game that was. Last year's game was a super game of football. You'd expect the same again. I think it's a little bit concerning for Kerry because I suppose there's still a question mark from Kerry's perspective. Do they know really, you know, where they are? They haven't really had a good test in Munster. I suppose Cork did give them a game for 50 minutes. They had a reasonably soft draw, let's be honest, in the round robin. So they're going into it a little bit blind, but like they're just past masters at being able to switch it on. They now know 5 weeks, 3 trips to Dublin, starting next weekend. And I think they'll be up for the challenge as well. They'll be very fresh. They'll have had a week off. I think 90 minutes plus penalties from a Derry perspective and the travel that's involved, as Eamon mentioned before, that definitely can take it out of you. So I think the advantages are with Kerry. I'd expect a big performance from them next weekend as well. And the other thing as well too, and I suppose, look, we can get into it when we talk about Derry. Derry have one win since beating Roscommon back in March, and that's a scratchy old win against Westmeath. Like, they didn't beat Dublin, they won a penalty shootout, and they didn't beat Mayo. So I'm not fully bought into the Derry revival just yet. And look, we'll see where they really are next weekend when they take on
Eamon did a brilliant piece on the Sunday game last night where you were outlining all the areas where they've improved. And like, it was like sod's law, then you do it and you show the pathway of how brilliant they are. Then they go and draw Kerry, which I'm sure people in your county were delighted to see you doing, Eamon. Yeah.
I've been talking to anyone yet this morning, so there's no one giving out to me yet anyway, Jackie. No, look, I think from the Kerry perspective, I think within the county, the couple of messages and things I got this morning, people are very wary. This time last year, before the All-Ireland semi-final, I felt almost like I was beating a lone drum within Kerry, that there was a lot of people that just felt it was a matter of form and that Kerry were going to handle Derry no bother. And as we saw on the day, it was one of the best games of the year last year. And Kerry, led by David Clifford in the last quarter, just had that bit of know-how to get it over the line. And I think, to be fair to Derry, they've improved. They had improved until things went wrong earlier in the championship in that regard this year. And even against Mayo the last night at the end of the game, again, they showed great courage and game management, particularly on their own kick-out. But I think, obviously, I haven't been talking to Jack or any of the lads within the group, but I think it's perfect for them. I think either Derry or Galway were the games that they would have really wanted from the point of view of Jack. I can imagine straight away the players and the management, they're on a war footing. There's no, we need to bring the best version of ourselves, or we can't take this for granted, or that conversation is out. They don't have to discuss that. They all understand how good Derry are. Obviously that game last year, and then the league game, losing the league game earlier on in the season. So they're, straight away what they're looking at is performing at the weekend and knowing that they have to perform at the top of their game. So I think that's a great place to be for the group. Rory mentioned it. They're here in an All-Ireland quarter final. without having played a Division One team yet. So, you know, it's time. It's time. And I think, like I said, within the group, I think it's a great draw for Kerry. It's going to be obviously a massive, massive task to beat Derry. But ultimately, this group, they want to win in All-Ireland. And to win in All-Ireland, you have to beat the likes of a Derry and win the big games from now on. So I think it's a great draw. I think it's a great draw for the general public as well. Yep. It's going to be a huge
game. It is. Can I ask you a question on that, Eamon, right? Because Rory is right. They haven't had a glove laid on them, and that has to be a concern for Jack. But can you, let's say they've had the whole season to do that and they've not known Derry are coming at them. How do you replicate that in training to make sure that you know you're at the pitch next weekend? Because Derry have come through several wars already and, you know, have not won all of them, as Rory says, you know, when you look at their statistics about the games they've actually won. But they are battle-hardened. So how can Kerry be sure that they are actually ready for this?
They don't know, Jackie, to be honest. They actually don't know. Look, I mean, in the old system, when I would have been in charge, you could have 4 or 5 weeks between games. And what you were trying to do was you were trying to have the training, and particularly the football and the training, as absolutely intense and off the charts as you possibly could. You were trying to, and oftentimes it was, to be fair, when we got to the weekends, you know, the games that we were playing within training were harder sometimes than the match at the weekend. But, you know, the nature of the competition. Now, I imagine they played an AVB game on Saturday, probably this weekend, and they would have been just trying to have, even if they had 40 minutes of really intense football, to make sure they're at the pitch. But I think they'll be fine in that regard because they're playing so many games. I think it's the mental pitch is the thing that they won't know until next weekend, in terms of when the test comes, and it will come. And oftentimes we've seen it plenty of times in the past when you have a team that had a weekend off and you have a team that are coming in on the back of a couple of games. It can often take the Derry, in this case, a while to get going in the game. It can take them into the second half sometimes to kind of really find the flow in terms of their movement and everything else. So when that test comes for Kerry the next day, having the ability to respond will be where we'll know they're at. Now, I expect them to be able to be honest. I'm expecting Kerry to show up next weekend and to really go at it. And I think it'll be similar to the semi-final last year. I think it'll be a fantastic battle.
And Jack, can I ask Eamon? I mean, we saw last year the impact of the week on situation as that seemed to affect the teams going in. I mean, without getting into predictions, but it would look to me that the four teams that had the week off are sort of red hot favourites now. Would that be fair?
I'd say they're certainly favourites, Rory. But you know, last year it was the first year of it. So it's hard to know. Look, Lee mentioned it as well last night about the fatigue for Derry next weekend, that because of the extra time, it has to
big
be a
ask.
Factor. It is a big ask, but I genuinely think the lift that they will have got off that win, because no matter how much talking and everything else that they were doing within their group, you know, that we can turn this and everything else, players don't really believe that until it actually happens. And it happened for them. That was an absolutely massive win for them last Saturday night. And the nature of it then with the penalties and everything else, the lift the group get from that, it's incalculable, really. So I think that kind of offsets the fatigue for them. But we won't know until next weekend, Rory. But I think you're right. I think it would be one thing if it was just two weekends in a row, but the fact that it's the third weekend in a row of heavy metal, hard stuff, that's what probably brings that into the picture.
And now out onto the heat of the big Croke Park pitch and the fatigue that might bring, and the fact that you probably need extra legs, and you know, I think all of those things would probably play a part. One other thing, though, Jackie, I think is worth mentioning. They have some record in penalty shootouts, Derry, haven't they?
Unbelievable. Soccer players. Soccer players in that area.
Yeah,
and Oren Lynch.
He deserves massive credit because he almost became the fun figure of their, you know, of their malaise there for the period where things were going wrong. And, you know, part of it was down to him, but there was certainly lots of other issues as well. But one thing I spotted Saturday evening, and I thought it was very interesting, and it shows the experience they have in these penalty shootouts. Now, I don't know if you noticed, after every Mayo penalty, Oran Lynch retrieved the ball and handed it to the next Derry player.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was no rooting and tearing. There was no, where's the ball? There was no, you know, some fella hopping off him or distracting. It looked to me like it was something that was discussed or practiced, that he was just going to hand his teammate the ball to make it as seamless as possible for the kicker, that all he was focusing on was the actual kick and he didn't have to be thinking about anything else. So I just thought, again, it showed their experience and the fact that they've been there. But, he's been incredible in the penalty shootouts, in fairness to him.
Yeah. Kamir, before we move on away from that game, lads, you'd have to spare a thought for Mayo people and the anguish they've gone through over the last couple of years in this football championship. I know. It's just like losing on penalty shootouts. We've talked about Armagh and the difficulty they've had, Rory, but I do think for Mayo fans, it's a particular kind of suffering being a Mayo football fan, isn't it?
They've, like, you could argue as well. I think they've made progress this year. Like Eamon mentioned last night with you about the transition, that is the case. And I think when you are in transition, it's about trying to maintain yourself at the top table while bringing new guys in. And they've been doing that quite seamlessly. A lot of other counties struggle when teams transition. We're going to see how difficult Monaghan might find it. We know other counties like Cork, Meath, Kildare, etc., fall off a cliff sometimes when they've got to transition players in and out when a team is changing its face. But like, I mean, they went unbeaten in the group stages. They were unbeaten in the round robin. Like they won two, drew with the All-Ireland champions, and now find themselves out. It's to a team that hadn't won a match since Christmas. Like, I mean, it's just cruel, and it's just the nature of it. And I suppose, yeah, they're the team that you probably would feel most sympathy for. But I mean, Mayo probably don't want anyone's sympathy at this point. It's just the nature of championship football at this stage. And it was look. The only thing I would say is, quick shout out to my own club. We achieved promotion back to Division One in Dublin.
I heard. Congratulations.
Yeah. We had a fantastic win on Saturday night, so we won the league. And we're going up now. We're up with all the big boys now, Jackie. Hey. And that's going to be that'll be quite the challenge. But sure, look, what are you in football for, if not for the challenge? But so we were all watching that game, obviously, afterwards. Like Mayo Derry was on in the clubhouse, and it was a fantastic game.
End to end,
had everything. Drama, the penalty called. Maybe some people say, look, I thought he got it right, to be fair to Cawley. I think he was fantastically positioned again, by the way. I mean, Jesus, he's a great referee to keep up with the play. He was literally about 5 yards away, so he had a fantastic view. And was it the Sam Callanan misplaced hand pass to go over the bar to put them 2 points up at the back end? Would have probably killed the game off, missed that. Oh, look, you know, your heart would go to him, but yeah, it's of no consolation now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just hard for them, Eamon, because I think it's, how do you keep regrouping with, it's not necessarily the same group of players, but there is still a core of them that have some decisions to make about the next few years, and can they continue with this crusade for Mayo? Because, you know, even Lee, who's inside with us an awful lot, just says, like, they had a golden generation of players that didn't get over the line, and you do wonder if the same is going to happen with this crop.
Yeah, absolutely, Jackie. And Lee, as we all know, is a very bubbly character, and you could see yesterday he was very disappointed and he was hurting. But I suppose, like, the one thing about it is that's championship, and that's why we all love championship and we all love knockout football. We're not here this morning saying, ah, look, they'll dust themselves down and I know they have to go away now in the next game and that isn't ideal for them, and you know that there's another chance and another chance and another chance. It's final, and it's fatal.
Yeah, they're gone.
And it's similar, you know, it's a similar story in Cork this morning where there's just this real, you know, reality. I mean, this time next week we're down to four, and it's mad how quickly it happens that we're all kind of almost stuck in gear for a period there where we're going, Jesus, will it ever get to the point? And the next thing, then it starts happening and teams start falling at a rate of knots. So, yeah, it is a tough one. It is a tough one for Mayo. There's no point saying otherwise. Rory mentioned it there. They look to be, you know, managing their whole season to kind of be coming to the boil at this stage. They had negotiated a tough group very well. They were within an ace of winning it. And the next thing then, a week later, they're gone. And yeah. it's the Mikhail Park thing again, isn't it, Madge? Like, if they'd had a choice, they'd have probably played it in Dr. Hyde Park and they'd be probably still in it this morning.
Yeah. And the other thing with it as well, Jackie and Eamon, we shouldn't forget about Tyrone in a similar scenario. Really good victory, very well-deserved victory in Tullamore 7 days ago against Cork. Home advantage against the team that had been relegated from Division One, and now they're out as well.
Yeah, it was a wild weekend. And in fairness, credit to Roscommon, because even seeing Roscommon and Louth in this quarterfinal draw, I think that does actually add a lot to the competition, Eamon. And whether you give them a chance of beating a Donegal or Armagh is kind of irrelevant. The fact that you're going to have an Armagh, a Louth or a Roscommon in the final four of the All-Ireland Championships is actually going to be brilliant entertainment for people who go to Croke Park to watch those games.
It is, and it takes away the predictability factor, like you said, that of those four, like even, you know, I know Jim McGuinness probably had massive ambitions at the start of the season, but if you told him, you know, that there's a huge chance they'd be in an All-Ireland semi-final and Ulster champions, he'd be saying for his first year back, I'd certainly take that. But Roscommon were fantastic value, and it's, you know, I've said it before, at times they can be hard to analyse. You just don't know what version of them is going to show up. But when they show up with that game and with the forwards they have, they're brilliant. They reminded me of St. Bridget's, the way St. Bridget's play on Saturday evening, that it was direct and it was attacking, but it was very measured at the same time. And it was so effective. And they're going to be a handful for Armagh. They're going to be no pushover, and they're coming with confidence. And I'm sure Davy Burke will be as bullish as ever this week, and he'll be loving the opportunity of getting into an All-Ireland semi-final. So it is. It's great. Look, the next weekend is going to be fantastic. In fairness, it's going to be a festival of football, and that's even before we mentioned the Dublin Galway game as well, which is another huge game.
Just one other thing I just wouldn't mind just shouting up to Eamon on as well, Jackie, in relation to this 2-point arc. I'd say if the 2-point arc was in play in Healy Park, Roscommon would have won the match. Would have won the match by about 20 points. Like, Murta must have kicked, I don't know, did he kick? He certainly kicked two absolute corkers, like from way out. You know, so
and he has that in the locker. I remember playing them when Kevin McSay was in charge of them. He'd just taken over, and we played them in the league game in Killarney in 2016, right at the start of the season. And we weren't long back from holiday, and we were just getting going. And they had one of those days where when the Roscommon players and forwards get going like that, they kick from everywhere. Mm-hmm. I was just smiling to myself in the sideline. I said, well, we can write off this 2 points anyway, the way they're going today. And signs on, we did. We lost. And I think it was the first time Roscommon had won in Killarney in an age. So it was one of those ones.
I remember that, yeah.
They were just, geez, they're brilliant players. They have excellent, excellent forwards that most counties would love to have. And they have four, you know, they have four real finishers up front in Derek Craig, Connor Cox, Murta and Donny Smith. Like, they're brilliant forwards. So, so that's going to be.
I'm really looking forward to that one. I think that's 50-50.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Armagh have been playing.
I would see that as 50-50, big time. I think Roscommon, physically, they'll be well able for Armagh. That takes away a big weapon from Armagh with all their macho stuff. And I think they've got the forwards to hurt them up front. They'll have a good enough midfield to at least get parity. Enda Smith looks like he's starting to get a bit of form back. And I think defensively, they'll be able to cope with what Armagh have at the other end. Doesn't mean they'll win, but I think this will be extremely competitive. Could be the best game of the weekend.
I think the best game of the weekend could be Dublin Galway if Galway could get everybody on the pitch, which, Eamon, as we've seen, has been their greatest difficulty all year round. And how they have managed to get to this stage of the season is impressive in itself with all of the injuries they've had to cope with. But if Shane Walsh or Damien Comer or both are not able to play at the weekend, I think they have no chance against Dublin. But if they do, what sort of a chance do you give them?
Do you know, before I came on this morning, Jackie, I actually meant to look up. I remember I was on the Connacht final, and at the time there was a piece, I can't remember who did it, but there was a piece about how little Damien Comer and Shane Welch have played together since the 2022 season. Like, they got to an All-Ireland final in 2022. They went down the stretch with Kerry until whatever it was, the 67th, the 68th minute, and a huge factor was the fact that the two of them were playing. I think since then, the amount of football they've played has been tiny together. Yeah. That even when, you know, even the last day again, Shane Welch guy had to knock his ankle. He was gone off when Damien Comer came on. Finally, we got Damien Comer back in the Connacht final. Damien Comer started the game. Padraig Joyce elected not to start Shane Welch that day. They played the second half together. And they won that game. So when they actually play together, they're obviously a different team. They're two brilliant players, and they bring so much. And when the two of them are on the pitch as well, I think it gives the likes of Rob Finnerty even a bit more space and a bit more of a chance to do what he does best, because he's a brilliant finisher. And again, that was evident that day of the Connacht final. So I think it is critical for them. They're, God almighty, they've been so unlucky with injuries and injuries to critical players, you know, that they managed to get Damien Comer back on the pitch the last day, and the next thing then, Shane Welch is gone again. So I agree with you, to beat Dublin, they're going to need everyone. And at least with Shane Welch, it is an ankle. Well, I think it was an ankle injury.
Ankle injury, yeah.
And that, you know, that's something that you could get back from. It wasn't a soft tissue. It wasn't that hip flexor issue that he had earlier on in the season. So, again, from the point of view of the game and for all of us neutrals, you'd be hoping that he gets back for next weekend.
Yeah, because a shootout between Dublin and Galway would be great to watch, Rory. But the only thing is that's going in Galway's, I think, just looking at the history, they haven't beaten Dublin in the Championship since 1934.
Yeah.
That's kind of a frightening stat. But they definitely have the armory to do it.
They probably haven't met all that often.
True.
To be fair, now, I suppose there'll be memories of 83. Was it the 12 Apostles or the Dirty Dozen, depending on who
you talk to?
Depending on which side of the fence. Yeah. You talk to my father in law, they're the 12 Apostles, you know. So I think they met in an All Ireland semi final a couple of years ago where. It was a bit lackluster of a semi-final. It was played on a Saturday night, in a more recent vintage. But look, it's to me that will largely depend on personnel from a Galway perspective. They have definitely one of the best, I think, natural footballers. Like themselves, Kerry and Dublin, I think, are right up there. John Maher again, what a workhorse and what a fella to get around the pitch and put a shift in for you. I thought he was unbelievable again on Saturday. So look, I don't know. I mean, you'd still probably have to hand you, like, I mean, look, to beat Dublin in Croke Park doesn't really happen that often. What is it, twice in 10 years? So they're going to be up against it. They will need everybody, but they're not without hope either. And we saw the last day in the Hyde that Dublin aren't as infallible as maybe we might have assumed them would be earlier in the season, but it's still a huge ask.
Yeah.
I have that stat there, Jackie. Before the Connacht final this season, Shane Welch and Damien Comer had only played 4 minutes and 45 seconds together all season long. So wow. They've played less than 50 minutes together all season long at this stage. And during the 22 season, of the game time that season, there's been 90% of the time on the pitch together. So
wow.
it's a huge factor. So you know, from their point of view, you'd definitely be hoping that they can get more time on the pitch together next weekend.
Mm. If they are, Eamon, right, and Galway are at full tilt, do you think they can beat Dublin?
I think they can, absolutely they can, but whether they will or not, you know, as Rory mentioned, the Dubs in Croke Park are a very different animal, and I think also that Mayo game will have brought them on immeasurably. They got such a test in the Hyde, and I think, you know, they're such a driven group that they're going to be, a lot of them played under par, and they're going to be annoyed with the way that they played individually, never mind the collective. The collective was the test they got and they survived, but individually a lot of them will have been disappointed with their performances. So I'd expect a big reaction from Dublin next weekend. For Galway to win, they have to be at their absolute best. Can they? Of course they can, but whether they will or not, it is going to be an ask for them. And again, you know, the third week in a row situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in the last minute or so, let's finish off on Donegal Louth, the other remaining quarterfinal. And I think, Rory, from a Cork perspective, they'll feel really disappointed not to be in the bowl this morning. But I think from a Louth point of view, to be in a first ever All-Ireland quarterfinal, we saw the scenes yesterday at full time, the job Ger Brennan has done with this team, which the lads touched on last night. It was an incredible story of the weekend to see. I just wonder now what sort of a chance people will give them against Donegal, who will be really hotly fancied for that game, given what has happened between these two teams in the past.
No chance. No chance, Jackie. Like, I think even Eamon mentioned it in his column, like the ceiling for them is the quarterfinal. And like, that should be a very good innings. They maintained their Division 2 status with ease. They made a Leinster final and they made an All-Ireland quarterfinal. Considering where they were in the middle of the winter when their manager of the last 2 years decided to, you know, vacate the scene. They have to get new management in. Quite an experienced cohort of management as well. I was only looking at it on the line there. He had James McCartan, Niall Mina, Ger himself. I mean, there's quite a brains trust to have over your team. And look, they played Cork to a absolute pitch perfect. Like, it was like a fiddle. I was watching a match and I was going, this is so predictable, you know? And I think what Cork needed to probably try and do is make the game slightly more unpredictable. And unfortunately, once you left the minute, now the free at the end.
Soft.
Look, yeah. I mean, once you put your hands on someone, he goes down handy enough. I think from the referee's point of view, knowing that you're in judge, jury and executioner mode at this stage. When you blow that whistle, you're making a call on who you think is going to win the game. Are you absolutely certain that that's a free? I don't know if he could say that with any certainty. It didn't really look like one to me. But look, that's the nature of it. I don't think Cork can have any complaints. The lack of composure on a couple of occasions going through on goal. Blaster from Owen McSweeney. Even he tips that over the bar with a hand pass. We saw Chris Oak-Jones on another occasion. Very poor shot selection from Conor Corbett. Powter, when he came on, made a bit of a difference. People may be arguing he should have come on a bit sooner. This is a blow, and I think it's a bigger blow from the point of view that John has said that he's not certain to continue. I think that's a major, major problem, because I think Eamon is absolutely 100% correct. There is nobody on the landscape sticking the paw up to replace him. And he has made good progress getting out of Division 2. Next year would have represented a really good opportunity, given with the fact Monaghan and Roscommon coming down. It's not a Donegal Armagh situation like you had last year. It does give you a better opportunity maybe to progress, and getting back up to Division 1 would be a big step forward, because they need to be playing these teams on a more regular basis to try and establish themselves as a proper Tier 1 county. And yeah, big blow. But look, all the credit to Louth. I think it wasn't a great game, let's be perfectly honest, but they don't care. They're in the quarterfinal, and the best of luck to them.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll finish off on that, Eamon, because I think you're right. Maybe if that is their ceiling, a lot of people might say that could be Cork's ceiling as well, though, because coming up against a Donegal, yes, they beat them a couple of weekends ago, but I think for them to be really seeing themselves as a top tier county, then getting beyond the quarterfinal stages should be their ambition. And maybe you are right that maybe a ceiling for a Louth or a Cork being in these kind of positions is probably dreamland, given where they were at the start of the season.
Possibly, Jackie, but I think the Cork, like going to Tullamore last weekend, you would have been saying, where's their ceiling there? Because, you know, they were in great shape. And I fancy them to beat Tyrone in that game. Now, you know, massive credit to Tyrone. They played very, very well in the game, and you know, deservedly won that game. But it it's all what if said if Cork had managed to win that game and they were sitting in the quarter final, you'd be giving them a massive chance of getting to a semi final, having beaten a Tyrone and a Donegal on the way. So it swings and roundabouts. I like, you know, you're conscious of taking the shine off the Louth win as well, because it was such a great win for them. I think with our parochial hats on, we're all going to be focused on the Cork side of the equation. And it what we highlighted last night, it was just those crucial things when the game was there to be won. Cork got it wrong, but you also have to say Louth got it right. And
Absolutely.
even that turnover at the end, you know, that we highlighted last night that led to the free, you'd say that it was possibly a poor decision and maybe execution from the Cork point of view. But you also have to give credit to Louth that they forced the turnover, they drove up the field, they won the free, and you know, at the end, then they shepherded them down into the corner and forced the turnover again. So we've to give Louth massive credit in that regard. But I think the way the season finished for Cork is a massive disappointment, because there was it appeared that a corner had been turned, and you know, they're probably still stuck on that corner now at the end of it.
Fair. A period of reflection for all of them, and a lot of people in Cork will be hoping that John Cleary stays. For Ger Brennan and Louth, though, they march on to the quarterfinals against Donegal, Armagh against Roscommon, Dublin against Galway, and Kerry against Derry, and lots for us to look forward to next weekend. But Eamon, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a million for being with us.
No problem.
He hits it! He hits it! It's over the bar! Oh! Holy Moses!
Neil McManus is with us now to chat hurling, and we know our semi-final lineup. So on Saturday, the 6th of July at 3 o'clock, it'll be Clare against Kilkenny. And then on Sunday, the 7th of July at 4 o'clock, Cork against Limerick. And maybe, Neil, the lineup that people were expecting, given the matches at the weekend, Cork beating Dublin and Clare coming through against Wexford. But starting off with Cork, I guess maybe another week where they were unimpressive again, following on from that Offaly performance.
They won't be happy with their performance, but I was thinking just on the way in here this morning, is that the perfect kind of setup for the Limerick game for the Cork lads? You know, they are the team that have already beat Limerick this year. A lot of people really fancy them as the team who match up nicely whenever there's going to be large expansive spaces in Croke Park, because Cork are so athletic. And you know, it worked well for them in Parky Heave the last time. I don't think anybody matches up to them in a physical sense, but Cork can run. Cork can really run, and the firepower and athleticism they bring off the bench as well is massive. So maybe not just shooting the lights out. I think it was only 26 points that they scored at the weekend, which wouldn't be anywhere near what they'd be needing to beat Limerick. But it might just lower expectations a little bit and actually play into their hands a small bit.
I don't know, though, if that's what the Cork mentality should be, Rory, going into a game against the All-Ireland champions, who are going to be favourites again, even what has happened between Cork and Limerick. I think Limerick will be raging favourites for this, because Cork have been so hot and cold this season.
Very hard to get a handle on it. Look, I think there's an element of mystery attached to Cork, insofar as, are we still sure what their ceiling is in a performance sense? It's probably the Limerick game that time in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. But there were still elements in that performance that were sketchy. I mean, like, they coughed up two goals, really, which were gifts to a Limerick. I mean, in Sean O'Donoghue, who gets caught in possession for one, and then a stray pass for the other one. So I think we're still not sure exactly what level Cork can bring. I think there's a couple of concerning aspects from my point of view, and from a Cork point of view, we'll say. The hiding they took in that All-Ireland final 3 years ago, that has to be still, you know, that's a scar. I think Dolo Cusick described it as a scar and something that will rankle and nestle in there for a long time to come. It was humiliating. It was embarrassing to have it done on the biggest of days. by one of your local rivals. You know, there was a lot of hype going into it. The game would be competitive, and Limerick literally took Cork to the cleaners. So that's going to be there, and that's the last Croke Park experience both these teams have had against each other. I think it is a factor, because I'm not entirely sure personnel have changed all that much since. I think you're going to have a huge crowd, potentially 70, 75,000. I think Cork will bring, they'll bring 40 anyway, maybe even more. And I think it'll be an incredible occasion, incredible atmosphere. But on all known form, Limerick win this, don't they?
Yeah, on all known form. But I don't know, the form of Limerick, if it was patchy at the start of the season, I think Limerick are now playing at the Limerick levels that we saw, that we expected from them, Neil. I think they have gotten better as the championship has gone on, and Cork haven't. But that's the conundrum, I think, that Rory has outlined there, that we're not quite sure what we're going to get. I think we know what we're going to get from Limerick, because they always deliver in Croke Park.
Always.
It's just what we're going to get from Cork that is going to dictate whether this is a semi-final for the ages or not.
I think Cork will bring it. I think when they've really needed to this year, I think we're being a little bit harsh on them. Whenever we've really needed them to, they have delivered. Whenever it was all on the line on two occasions, after, you know, being beaten by Waterford the first day out in the round robin, their response was brilliant on two occasions. And even though they didn't beat Clare, they really performed. And then obviously they win against Limerick whenever it's do or die. So I actually think they're a much more balanced team than what they were three seasons ago. And, you know, Dalton, Barrett and Harnady there, I think that's the half forward line that they've been missing. A half forward line that can actually win their own ball. Keep you in a game. Whenever they're under pressure, you can fire one long onto any of the three of them, and there's a chance they win it and just, you know, win you a free, break up the other team's momentum. And then obviously inside, they have one of the greats of all time there who's still doing it. So even though, yes, the performance against Dublin wasn't something that they'd be massively happy with, I think they'll bring it. I think we're going to have an absolutely incredible occasion and a brilliant game to match as well. And look, it's great that it's somebody different. You know, Cork have broke through in the semi-finals this year, and I think that that could be the game of the year, really, with a full house in Croke Park.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Look, that inside line as well. In Alan Connolly, they've found a goal scorer. In Brian Hayes, they have a running threat. There's definitely more balance to that Cork team. You're right, maybe, Rory, the personnel hasn't changed dramatically, but the feel of that Cork team might have changed, the balance of it since that.
No. Yeah, like, and that is fair. I mean, I was probably being slightly pessimistic in my initial assessment, because Cork have been suffering so long at the hands of Limerick now for quite a few years. But yeah, the inside line has changed. And I think Alan Connolly hasn't been well the last couple of weeks, which would probably explain his form to a degree. He was taken off, as we know, on Saturday. I think it's definitely changed. And just that three inside will give them a little bit more. There's just more fellas to take the weight off Patrick Horgan. And yeah, so I think it is set up. What can you read into the last 2 weeks? I'm not entirely sure. They seem to just do enough on both occasions. I think Neil is right. When Cork's need has been greatest, they've normally pulled out the stops when they've had to really go. I think we'll get a performance. Rob Downey coming back in. I'd imagine, like, I presume Rob will probably start centre back, and then you're looking at Kieran Joyce maybe to midfield if Ethan Toomey doesn't make it back. Now, I think Ethan Toomey did really well against Limerick that night. I think it was at a concussion potentially, so that's why he's missed a couple of weeks. He got a really bad one there. I think it was against Ronan Maher in the Tipperary match. Now maybe he might be ready for the Limerick game. Limerick, I think, are, you know, in pretty good shape injuries wise, so I don't think they have any issues. And yeah, like, I just, there will be, because if you go back to the last time these two teams met in that famous semi-final, when Nicky Quaid had that incredible last minute flick on Seamus Harnady to stop that goal, the match went to extra time and Limerick went on and grabbed it. And that's just the raucous atmosphere and the nature of the contest. I think Neil is right. I think we could get something like that again. I really do. I think it will be that feel, you know?
It would be epic, wouldn't it? One last word on Dublin before we move away from that game, Neil, because when you talked about Cork, and when the need was greatest, they were at it. I think the opposite of Dublin. Leinster final needed a performance, didn't get it. Again here today, a knockout game at the weekend, didn't get it until the last 10 minutes when the game was all but over and then Dublin started to play. You were like, where were you for the last 60 minutes? It's so frustrating. And I've got Dublin hurling fans in this house and they're wondering, why can't they play for the whole game? If they could, they would be a force to be reckoned with.
Definitely. And they actually done an awful lot right in terms of their setup against Cork, because they ran the ball at every opportunity. What we thought we would see from them in the Leinster final, that never materialized. In the Leinster final, they played the game that Kilkenny love, you know, long direct ball. And yet, they against Cork, who are a very athletic team, they ran the ball, they backed themselves to play the way they wanted to. And actually, a shout out to Conor Burgh as well. He has, you know, he's put himself in contention for an all-star, I would say. He's been so consistent for them the whole way through the round robin. And again, he was very good against Cork. But they will be, you know, really, really annoyed with themselves in terms of their level of consistency, because we've seen brilliance from this Dublin team at times. And then we've seen them, you know, really, really average. It's been too patchy. And look, I think that Neil O'Donoghue has done a really good job, and they are quite young, but there's much more in this Dublin team. I think Dublin can really rattle any of the top five or six sides here on any given day, but it just doesn't happen on a regular enough basis.
Yeah. And Jackie, the one thing that they need to be mindful of as well, now they're producing plenty of players themselves, but Offaly are definitely on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Leinster is going to be extremely competitive, and as Offaly improve and as these young lads come through and filter out and start to fill out those jerseys and start to add a level of, you know, they're back up into Liam McCarthy Cup and they're back into the Leinster Championship anyway. And that's even before some of these excellent under 20 players start to make their way into that senior panel. And I think Offaly will be... I wouldn't necessarily see Offaly going straight back down. I think they'll bring a level of quality that they could get into a mix. I think it'll be much more difficult for a Dublin over the next couple of years, or a Wexford or an Antrim, to get that third place. So these opportunities won't come around all that often. And, you know, I just wonder, did they really believe when they went down to Thurles on Saturday that they could do something? I'm not sure they did.
That's a fair point as well about Offaly. The other game, Clare Wexford, it's just such a pity with the red card, Neil, because it kind of ruined the game, didn't it? You know, I the first one for me is never a yellow card. It's so early.
It's a warning. It's a warning. Isn't it? To me, Jackie, sorry, Neil, to me, that first one is, listen, you know, your next one, you're definitely getting a book, and I don't care what it is. But like, to book someone after 20 seconds, like.
Yeah. It killed it though, because the second one then is just, it's stupid, and he knows it himself, but it just kind of ruined the game. And Wexford were in the game at that point, Neil. I think that's just what makes it so disappointing, that this game could have been a lot tighter.
Well, absolutely. I think it actually was level at the time Rory got sent off.
Yeah.
You know, the adrenaline was up. Rory was actually the player who won the penalty, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes beforehand. And he's obviously, you know, he's just charging about the field, and it's a loose one. And the second one is a yellow card, unfortunately. And you have to be a little bit more in control of your emotions. You know, you're walking a tightrope, regardless of how you came upon your first yellow card. You have to be careful then. And he wasn't. And he gave the referee a decision to make with the second one. And so unfortunate, because momentum was with Wexford. Look, it just took the sting out of it immediately, almost, you know.
I think it was 1-12 to 15 at that stage. They just scored a penalty and they were motoring, Neil, weren't they?
Yeah, and he was going well too himself.
He was having an unbelievable game.
Yeah. And then you just see Clare take off, really. And whenever they got into the flow, actually, there was a 20-minute period in the second half where I think it was they scored like 2-10 against Wexford, 4 points in that period. And it was Limerick-esque how they blew them away, you know. And obviously Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell both got into their flow at that stage. But it's just so unfortunate for Wexford, because that could have been a game that went right down to the wire, actually.
I think you're right. But Clare, whatever about whether it was right or wrong, or, you know, I think we can all say, Rory, it was a second yellow, so it's a red card then, if that's the case. It is Clare's ability to grasp the game, though, and understand, right, this is our opportunity. And they took it. And credit to them, because there's been a lot of question marks about them as well. And I think they showed a lot of character themselves to just make this not a contest, blow them out of the water and just ensure their own place and off we go. It was very businesslike from Clare, actually.
Yeah, and like they came out, they started the game really well, 3-0, 4-0. They were absolutely flying. But I think, in fairness to Wexford, they managed to establish a foothold in the game after that, and they settled down and they kind of, you know, measured up to the task. And I think they started to sow some seeds of doubt into that Clare psyche, which would have been a hangover from the paucity of their performance in that Munster final. Obviously, the sending off, as we just discussed, changed everything. I think from Clare's perspective after that, they were absolutely clinical, professional, and they, you know, put Wexford really to the sword. It was a non-contest, and this happens in intercounty hurling. It's very rare now if you go down to 14. Even though Wexford did it themselves, I think, were they down to 14 with 20 minutes to go against Galway, managed to win. And Limerick, I think, did it maybe last year, the year before, when Garrod Hegarty was sent off against Waterford and still managed to win. But it's very, very rare. If you give a man over now, with the way teams retain the ball and the way teams can use it at the elite level, you are in all sorts of bother if you have a player sent off. So I think from Clare's perspective is they're going to go into this All-Ireland semi-final now with none of the baggage or none of the expectation that they would have had the last two, because the way Kilkenny performed in the Leinster final, they're going to be the ones that are going to be favourites going into this. We have seen that Clare can, they can take on Kilkenny. They beat them in the league final. They were looking, and this is the third year in a row, obviously. The first year, John Conlon went down sick, I think, on the eve of the game, and it caused a big shift in selection from Brian Lowen's point of view, and Kilkenny came out and just hosed them. I think last year, they were poor the first half, they rallied big time, and they made it an unbelievable scrap and a fantastic contest coming down the home stretch. They've obviously got that monkey off their back now by beating them in the league final earlier in the year, so they know that they can match up. But this is when it really matters. And, like, to be fair to Kilkenny, Kilkenny look like they're revving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last word to you on that one, Neil, because I think Rory is right. Kilkenny probably will be seen as the ones who maybe have that favourites tag. But I think Clare, given that they already have a bit of silverware in the bag this year, they have shown huge growth in this team, and they obviously have bigger eyes as well. They want another go at Limerick in particular, if they could get to an All-Ireland final. There's massive motivation for them too.
They would be, I would say, 90% of the country's wish to get to the All-Ireland final outside of Kilkenny fans, because we know what they would bring. I was in Ennis for the first round of the Munster Championship, and it was a carnival atmosphere. What that would bring to Dublin would be amazing. But the task ahead of them is one that they haven't been able to get over for the last two seasons. And Kilkenny turn up every day. I think with both teams playing to their potential, Clare could actually just edge that one, even though Kilkenny will definitely be favourites. But Kilkenny are very, very good at shutting down the key men for Clare. Even though, you know, as we say, two seasons ago, whenever Kilkenny ran out, you know, easy winners in the end, Shane O'Donnell still caused them a problem that day. I think he ended up with an all-star and got about 4 or 5 points from play. That's the man that Kilkenny have to have their eyes on, because he's just been, like, he's in Hurler of the Year form, really. And everybody loves watching him. And they deploy him at 14, they deploy him at 11, and he's brilliant everywhere. But it will be really interesting to see, you know, does TK have Mikey Butler for company, you know, from midfield from the start?
Would you put Mikey Butler on Shane O'Donnell, Neil?
No, I don't think so. I think I would say, you know, if he goes on 14, Hugh Lawler, you stay with him.
Yeah.
Because Hugh's still, for me, the best fullback in the game. And I think Clare will play him inside. But it's an absolute cracker to look forward to. Because I think we'll see a congested middle, which will leave, you know, probably two on two at either side of the field. So I think we're going to see goals. And actually, we could have two absolutely cracking semi-finals. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of people's four best teams in the country this year as well, which is great for the Hurling Championship to see. Cork Limerick on the Sunday, Clare Kilkenny on the Saturday, and bring it on. Cannot wait. Neil, we'll leave it there, but thanks a million for being with us. And for everybody listening and watching, don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you on Thursday as we look ahead to the weekend's action.
GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.